thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Hi, I'm Chantry Brown. We missed the beginning of our recording on our June 10 p.m. sermon, and we're trying to make up for that now. So, this sermon is from week two of our new series, Life Hacks, Pocket Tips from Proverbs for Better Living, a series of entirely practical messages on Proverbs for those who have lost faith, seeking, wondering about God or Christianity. The beauty of these Proverbs that we are learning about is that these truths work. They work at any stage of our lives. The proverb being shared for this evening's sermon is Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. In reflecting on Proverbs 12:26, what stands out to me is that I don't see a whole lot of appraisal or due diligence in my world when it comes to choosing friends. Yes, there are often people we aren't particularly attracted to and some preferences that do come into play. But as we very first begin to navigate the journey of making friends, we tend to see very little discernment shown. And it's here that we're going to be picking up the rest of the sermon.
You see, I have a four-year-old daughter. And 10 minutes into any trip to the park, she has a new best friend. She has shared play equipment with her new friend, pilfered snacks from her new friend, chased, hugged, held hands with her new friend, and invited her new friend over for a sleepover. And when I ask her, "What is your new friend's name?" she has no idea. She has a lot of love to give and like zero guards. I have a six-year-old daughter. She has had four different BFFs this year and a BFFFF. She can list the three kindest kids in her class, but she feels compelled to follow those girls with the best dance moves and beautiful stickers to swap. Friendship looks different to her. And when we're kids, we can bond over anything, can't we? You like the colour red? I love the colour red. Me too. We have matching pencil cases. Yes! We share a fence line. We're the only boys in the choir. There's a whole lot of just incidental ways to form a bond that feels incredibly dear. Throughout high school, our friends are often made through formalised clubs that we're a part of or shared attributes. So you have the sports crew, the academics, the makeup queens, the drama group. The drama group. I haven't seen a school yet where you can't identify the drama group. And as a Christian, you might go through high school trying to balance your school friend network and your youth group friends, if you don't go to a Christian school like I did. Choosing to get involved in the evangelization of your school purely to take some conflict out of your weekends and who you're going to spend time with. And yes, some of these connections that we make throughout childhood and adolescence, they foster friendships that last through uni and adulthood. We can make amazing lifelong friends in these places. Shared interests aren't always trivial. The convenience of location or a shared club is not necessarily a great indicator of a strong friendship. As many of us will know, leaving year 12, can you remember that? Getting everyone to sign your jersey, sign your yearbook, vowing to remain friends, arms around each other as we go on. Come whatever, we will still be. Come on. Oh, yeah. That's for Gen X out there. You might feel well connected at that point to 30 or 50 people, and if you're really fortunate, 2 years later, you're still in touch with five of them. You may have seen the memes out there recently lamenting that while people acknowledge Jesus feeding the 5,000, nobody is talking about Jesus' miracle of having 12 close friends in his 30s. They may have been close, not all of them great. Life flows on, and it's easy to just go along picking up some random connections as you go, delighting when some of them turn out to be solid friends. But Proverbs is all about giving us the keys to a successful life and warning us about practices that will have us become a fool or wicked and stray from God. And Proverbs is saying that the righteous choose their friends carefully, literally to investigate, to make reconnaissance, not rushing into a friendship, not surrendering his moral judgment to anyone. Now, this idea of a rigorous screening of friends may not seem like the best advice in every situation that you face. Aren't we called to extend kindness to those who cannot do anything for us? And isn't relational evangelism dependent on building relationships with all kinds of people? And most of us are taught from a really young age to play nice with everyone. Befriend those you have differences with. Those you may not think are the coolest or prettiest or the funniest, reach out to those. I was told a story this week by my friend of his son being praised by his teacher for befriending the school bully, even though this kid has been picked on by this kid throughout the year. And that's commendable, right? The teacher's praising this behaviour of reaching out to someone who wouldn't seem like a great choice of friend. It's a benevolent approach to living, and there's merit to understanding that Proverbs 12:26, while being true, is not going to be the full and entire truth for every situation. There are times to make room in your life for people who don't seem like they would pass a friendship interview panel. But being selective with your best friends, those you offer a chance to influence you, it needs to become more strategic over the years, and for good reason. You might have heard the saying, "Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future." The people we surround ourselves with affect us deeply. They affect the way you think and feel about yourself. Friends influence personal preferences and lifestyles. They influence how you use your money and your time. Friends impact your spiritual development. It actually makes a big difference in your life if your four closest friends are skipping church for a football match or if they're calling you when you miss a week of life group. If you're wanting to have a good crack at predicting where you'll be 5 years from now, look at the people around you. You can get a pretty good idea of what you'll be doing, where you'll be going, what your income level will be, how your week's going to look by the company you keep. Because the people you associate with have a major impact and influence on your personal success. Now, of course, this only really matters if where you are headed is important. If the journey of life and enjoying its moments, its encounters, its distractions is the goal, then it shouldn't really matter if friendship is a thoughtless process. If being a spiritually mature, well-rounded follower of Jesus is something you desire. If the destination of your life matters, well then the people who get the majority of your time should be put in your innermost circle with purpose, not by accident. There are so many circumstances that shape who we are, so many circumstances that impact your future that you cannot control, where you were born, into what culture and time, your gender, your genes, your economic security, a whole bunch of medical and health factors, which school you were sent to. And here, though, is a critical one that you can speak into. And it would be a shame to waste it, wouldn't it? You can choose who the loudest voices will be in your life. Yep, as you grow up, plenty of people will have ideas about who your friends should be. I don't know how many girlfriends have had the conversation with me now growing up about we're going to grow up and we're going to remain friends and we're probably going to work in the same office together and we're going to get married and we're going to have a boy and a girl and they will be best friends. And you think you can shape it and it doesn't work because try as they might to make you befriend that nose-picking kid at Aunt Myrtle's barbecue, no parent can control who you let into that trusted space. The space of being allowed to influence and guide you. And as Christians, we must take seriously the charge to choose, we often take seriously the charge to choose a spouse with care, don't we? Like, if you didn't have a huge list of attributes that your future husband was going to have, were you even a Christian girl of the 90s? We take it seriously, but we often don't pour a similar energy into choosing our friends carefully. And looking up the original meanings for the words that are found in the verses, I have to admit the words intense investigation and reconnaissance, they impressed me. I was impressed. Because while I don't want to suggest, you know, night vision goggles and dedicating your bedroom wall to tracking people's movements, it does seem that at a minimum, some quick Facebook stalking is being suggested. What groups are they affiliated with? How do they spend their leisure time? Are their tweets and updates plagued with racist rants or bizarre political views? The original word used in Proverbs 12:26 about this choice means to send out for intelligence information. And it's used throughout the Old Testament to describe spying out a land or searching out wisdom. So I don't think a little bit of sussing out someone's ideals is really going to be taking you to somewhere that's too extreme. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs are often a contrast between the wise righteous and the foolish or the wicked. And as Mark mentioned last week, there's a bunch that sit in the middle, the simple, who can kind of go either way. Proverbs chapter 12 is built on proverbs that contrast thematically the conduct of the righteous wise and its outcome with those of the wicked and fools. Proverbs 12, just chapter 12, says that the wise love discipline or instruction because they love knowledge. The good receive favour from Yahweh. The root of the righteous will never be moved. They obtain a good wife. They possess thoughts that are just. They engage in behaviour that delivers them from danger. They build a house that will continue to stand. They're commended for their good sense. They recognise the importance of rejecting self-importance. They do not lack for food. They have eternal life, just to name some of them. Whereas alternatively, the wicked, in hating correction, they reveal their stupidity. They are overthrown, they are despised, they have no food, they listen to their own advice, they practice deceit, and they're lazy. Too lazy, in fact, to carefully consider their relationships. And so they are easily led in the wrong direction. Well, astray is the fancy word. The proverb advises extreme caution in choosing one's confidential friend. Because living in the context of wickedness leads one away from the path of life into that of death. Old Testament chosen one turned village idiot, turned champion, Samson, failed in part because he sought his confidential friends from the uncircumcised Philistines and not from his own family. And there's a bunch of times throughout Scripture we can see examples of people choosing wise relationships that strengthen them in their call or detract from it by choosing the wrong ones. And the root word used here in 12:26 for friend means bosom friend, something all of the Anne of Green Gables fans would appreciate. And the righteous choose carefully this bosom friend, because if you don't choose, you'll be led away from wisdom, led away from righteousness, led away from God, led away from life. A quick Google search will leave you with hours of reading the countless ways that tragic deaths have occurred after a dare from dodgy friends. If you don't want to expend the energy on intentionality in your choices, you will be easily led. So choose carefully. I remember the first time I consciously chose to pursue friendship with someone. I had been in full-time ministry at that point for 7 years in Newcastle, and I was a friendship mess. Because being a young youth pastor with fairly poor boundaries left me feeling quite scarred from years of sensing that my life was not my own and that I had to be friends with everybody equally. Something in me registered that I was being paid to be friends with every adolescent in my local region and not to show any favouritism. A move to New Zealand was a fresh start and a time to make some new friends. A trip to a Christian outdoor recreation centre, a few hours away from where we lived, and we met Kyle and Hanya. They lived in the most beautiful part of the world. Amazing. They were right near the ski fields, and Hania, being an Australian, understood all of our lingo completely. It was wonderful. And my husband and I have often laughed at the fact that upon discovering a couple our age living in a beautiful log cabin which had a spare room at the bottom of some ski fields whose snow gear, boards and boots were our exact fit, I turned to him and said, "Let's make some best friends." And we just used them for a free snowboarding trip the once, and they remain close to us 11 years on. And though it seemed fickle at the time, and we laugh about it together now, when I look back at the forging of that friendship, I had heard numerous testimonies about this couple for 8 years prior to meeting them. We had many, many shared friends and a shared faith, not just a shared shoe size. And I remember choosing her, and really, for the first time, I was conscious of choosing a friend on purpose. And she's challenged my life, shifted my perspective, prayed through tough times with me, and pointed me to Jesus countless times. And I've chosen other friends since. And I've got to say, it's the friends I've consciously sought that have been the great reward in my life. Proverbs has so much to say about the good neighbour and the good friend. And so if you're wanting to know who it should be, who it is that you are looking for, there's some great instruction here on who we need to be looking to put in our inner circle. And faithfulness is the first feature. Fair weather friends are many in Proverbs. You'll find them in 14, 20, 19, a bunch of times. I'm not going to read them all out to you. You can do a friend word search later. Fair weather friends, plenty through the book of Proverbs, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, mentioned in 18:24, and who loves at all times, mentioned in chapter 17, verse 17. We're supposed to look for candour and truthfulness in people. Proverbs says in 27:6 that wounds from a friend can be trusted, for whoever flatters his neighbour is spreading a net for his feet. David, King David, shirked his duty to, I'm going to say it wrong, Adonijah, thank you. Shirked his duty to Adonijah, his son. I should have asked that before now, how you say that. as we see in 1 Kings 1:6, it says his father had never interfered with him by asking, "Why do you behave as you do?" And it cost his son his life. Friends are supposed to bring candour and truth into our lives and to challenge us. And while it's ideal to be surrounded by positive, uplifting people, we also need to have people who will give us constructive critique. We should be looking for wise counsel in our friends. There are two sayings in Proverbs 27 that give the different sides of this. 27:9 mentions the encouraging effect of fellowship and the healthy clash of personalities or views. In 27:17, where iron sharpens iron. A true friendship should have both elements, the reassuring and the bracing. If you're surrounding yourself with people who never ask you tough, thought-provoking questions, you'll never be living up to your full potential, emotionally, spiritually, socially. And it's not to say that every conversation has to be about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit or even suitable future goals. But if you only hang out with your current besties because it's convenient while the state of origin is on, it might be time to consider whether you're getting enough intellectual and spiritual stimulation out of those interactions. Seek out those who provoke slightly uncomfortable thoughts and challenge your life. There's a bunch of other things you can find here if you spend your time in God's Word. I'm not going to give you the whole list of what you should be looking for in the person that's going to build you up and be a great companion along your way. Motivational speaker Jim Rohn famously said that we are the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. Now, if there's some truth to this, does it make you feel comfortable? Are they people of wise counsel? Are they people with tact? Are they people of good character? Are they faithful? Are they people who challenge you? Friends who you look up to for their successes, for their ability to forgive or to be kind, for their wisdom, they're going to make you a better version of yourself. The important thing in friendships is not just how somebody makes you feel, but whether you like who you are when you are with them. And isn't that the whole point, that we surround ourselves with a good nucleus of people that are right for us? Hanging with someone you want to be like will make you more like them. So it's more important to consider whether the people around you represent the things that you value. If you say you value your faith, if you say you value maturity, if you value kindness, if you value generosity, do the people that you've led in your inner circle model that in their own lives? And if they do, you're in great shape. But if your five people aren't representative of things you love and aspire to become, it might be time to reevaluate. And in a world with many people craving better friendships than they already have, let's choose to be the friends worth choosing. I said before that I used to be a youth pastor, and for those of you that haven't met a youth pastor, they never have enough money to get anything done. Yeah, at least I'm getting one little like preach from Matt Willis. And I had a friend come into my life that wanted to make a difference there. She said, you've got a lot of vision, you've got a lot of plans, you've got a lot of things you want to achieve, and money's holding you back. So I'm going to put, I can't remember what it was, I think it was $150 to $200 a fortnight into a special bank account for me that I could use for ministry things that I saw were fit. I didn't have to run all of these things by her, but I would let her know sometimes, hey, that money let a kid go to camp. That money, you know, allowed us to hold this great event. And I've shared that the story of this friend a few times over the years when I was in youth ministry with other youth pastors who started kind of jealously coveting my friend. And you know what struck me after I'd shared about this beautiful friend of mine four or five times was that I'd heard the exact same sentence, or if not the same wording, the same heart after I'd shared the story, and it was, where do I get a friend like that? I wish I had a friend like that. I need a friend like that. And I've never heard anybody say to me, I wish I was a friend like that. And that's a challenge to me, because as people who want to prove that the gospel transforms and prove the church trustworthy, shouldn't it be a goal of ours to be the type of friend that people would desire after having careful consideration of who's going to be best in their life? The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And my hope for us going into this week is not that we would start ghosting our existing friends in order to have a clean slate to start again, but that we might consider the significant relationships in our life, and if there are some unhealthy or even toxic friendships, that we would begin to decrease the level of influence we allow them to have in our lives. My prayer is that for those of us who need to really pursue some healthy friendships in our lives, that we would do the due diligence, do the homework, put some effort into finding the right people that will help shape who we become. Join a life group if you don't know where to start. Those life groups are filled with awesome people, ripe for the picking. And my hope is that we would be more deliberate in our choices, more considered and more deliberate, lest we find ourselves at the mercy of those choosing us and the direction they choose to lead us in. So I want to pray for us right now, and as our beautiful worship team come back up to lead us again, I want to ask that you with me would take a moment to consider the five people that you spend the most time with in your life. What are they drawing you to? What are they drawing you away from? Where are they modeling everything that you want to be? Where are they strengthening the areas in your life that you are weak? Have you got the right people in your inner circle? God, we want to give you our relationships. And we thank you that you care about each one and you care about the ways that we're being shaped and influenced and guided and led. And you care about the way that we are shaping and influencing and guiding and leading others. And my prayer, God, the cry of my heart, is that for each of us, we would never be instrumental in leading someone astray. And that for each of us, we would have the discernment to recognize the temptation or the tendencies or the potential to be led astray. That we would guard our hearts, that we would use the wisdom available to us, and we would be surrounded by people that help us become healthy followers of you, Jesus. Amen.